symbol of excellence in sports entertainment.
Welcome in to a bonus episode of My World with Jeff Jarrett. I'm your host tonight, Cassio Kidd, and I am joined by the Hall of Famer, the man with a thousand different alliances, Mr. Double J, Jeff Jarrett. How are you, sir?
Cassio, you know better than to introduce me nowadays. You can only do it one way. Real Double J.
Real.
You do business J. with that other phony singer, phony podcaster, phony, also known as my good friend, Gerard James. Also known as BGG.
The Roadie. Gerard.
Sergeant James is also. Sergeant James. But we'll go. I guess we can take it, but I'm the real Double J.
Buddy, how are you, man?
Buddy, I am fine as a frog hair. And you know how fine a frog hair is?
It's tiny.
It's fine.
Not tiny. It's the only thing finer than my beard hair. So
either that or that beautiful purple necktie.
Come on now, we are going to the symphony tonight.
I love it. You are.
That's all I heard. So I dressed appropriately. You got the guns out. You're ready to go.
This shirt is kind of a takeoff off. It is a music album takeoff. Do you get that?
Well, I can't see what is it.
Smash. Hold on. Say, do you get this?
Jarrett Killing.
Calling.
Oh, Jarrett Calling. The Clash.
The Smash. The Crash.
Smash, and it's the Clash. Here we go.
It's my music motif. I went out there and looked at my stack of shirts that are podcast related and all that. And I said, I got to get something that's a little bit music, but not just a guitar. So I went with the album cover, my man.
Well, my man, we are going to watch an episode of Lonesome Pines tonight.
Oh, I wish Wayne Cowan was here tonight. You know who Wayne Cowan is?
Who is Wayne Cowan for everybody?
You don't know Wayne Cowan.
Tell everybody who Wayne Cowan is.
PKA, professionally known as Dirty Dutch Mantel.
Oh, I didn't know his real name. Man, by the way, I've only interacted with him probably three times, all at like a StarCast.
Okay.
One of the funniest guys I've ever
met. I bet y'all would hit it off. His sense of humor is incredible. I've known Dutch forever, worked with him, Puerto Rico, TNA, all kinds of stuff. But in my early formative years, I rode up and down the roads with him and learned a lot. And this particular night that we're going to talk about, it kind of linked us at an early age forever. We're the only, I'm going to go ahead and get it out. What we're about to watch.
Come on.
There are, I don't know how many matches have been recorded. Just think about in totality. Japan, Germany, all through America, Mexico, North America. Wrestling was around before television, but when TV hit, it took it to a whole nother level, and now pay-per-view and streaming and all this. This match that we're about to watch, every match recorded is the only match that is in the Smithsonian Institute.
Come on.
This is it, folks. We're going to watch a little history. The Lonesome Pine specials in the Smithsonian. It's not Andre Hogan. It's not Cena and whoever, Philip LeBlanc. It's not any other. I mean, think about that. Match filmed in Louisville, Kentucky at the Symphony. And I appreciate you all tidied up. You know,
By the way, in case they don't know, Lonesome Pines, one of the greatest miniseries ever. Robert Duvall won the 1989 Golden Globe for Best Actor in a Miniseries that year. Is that what we're watching?
Well, hell no. It's a PBS series called The Lonesome Pine Specials.
Oh, that was Lonesome Dove. Sorry about that. My bad. I don't have any notes on this wrestling
match. You're the best.
Here's the deal. Last time I guest hosted My World with Jeff Jarrett, Conrad Thompson was out. You said you had no idea what your overall record is in wrestling. Is that correct?
Correct.
What's your overall record in Smithsonian matches?
1-0.
Come on, baby.
Come on, 1-0. I don't play around in prisons or symphonies, and so I'm undefeated.
All right.
Me and Dutch, actually, on Tales of the Territory, the Vice show, we got to cutting up and all that, but we've wrestled each other in a prison, And we've also roasted each other in a symphony in hundreds and hundreds of spot shows between Louisville, Kentucky and Jackson, Mississippi and west of Jonesboro and east of Knoxville.
We're going to watch this. It's about 15 minutes, and I got a lot of questions, as you can imagine. Before we get started, just a little bit, as we watch this, what's y'all's ages? What's your age and what's his age?
Producer, if you're listening, what year was this? What year did we record this? I want to say we recorded about 88, 89.
Okay.
I'm 21 years old.
21. And how old is he? This took place apparently 1989 at the Center for Performing Arts in Louisville, Kentucky, August 2nd. I'm
22 2nd. Years old, and Dutch has got to be late 30s at this time.
Because in my mind, he's always been like 50.
Yeah, but he's not him. He's a hell of an athlete. In his day, he's an incredible athlete. A lot of folks don't know that about the
old. That hair just always made him look he's an old dude.
He's got shaggy carpet on all four sides, but big old hairy boots, carry a bull.
Shaggy carpet on all four sides.
He will whip your ass with a bull whip quicker than – anyway, the Dutchman. I'm 22. He's late 30s. Just as a little setup here, there was a gentleman in the Tennessee territory. His name was Marc Guillen. It's a French name, Guillen.
Guillen. Love that cheese.
Yeah. So he was in the tag team called the Beauty and the Beast. But Mark always was a little bit of a intellect, if you will. And he's a percussionist, studio percussion. He's not just a drummer, and I'm in Nashville. Conrad, there's probably 1,000 comedians, but only a few good ones or 10,000 comedians. So if you're a studio musician,
incredible.
That means you are
perfect timing, perfect sound. You know, every note you're in, everything is about it is perfect.
Yes. That's Mark. In percussion land.
Wow.
He was a studio percussionist, and he played in the symphony. And that's how good he was. And he played all kinds of music and all this kind of stuff. But he had a connection in this gentleman who, and it's been in the notes, but Walter Mays, I believe, was the conductor. And he had this thought process because he knew Mark was a wrestler. How do we kind of marry those worlds? And look, I wasn't privy to any of these conversations, but they had the conversations on wrestling is an art form. So I'm going to go down a little road here with Cassio as a setup. Just so, you know, Mark would say, hey, what we do, obviously it's not true sport and it's got the entertainment aspect, but there's a lot of art to it because there's so much improv and you have to listen to the people and you have a cadence to it and you take the people, as people say in our industry, take them on a roller coaster ride and there's ups and downs, but there's a beginning of a match. And they were talking about a wrestling match and drawing the analogy to a piece of music. And just how it kind of married each other. So they came up with the idea of, hey, I wonder if we can have a match and I'll conduct this orchestra based on what they're doing in the ring. And I'll just bring it up and all that. So it was a unique concept when the first time we heard about it. And my father, Jerry Jarrett, you know, he's the one said, hey, we've got this thing we're going to do in Louisville. And, you know, and me and Dutch's mind was, okay, how much are we getting paid? Yeah. Just that's kind of the mindset that
that's
we're
going to do. That's what I was going to ask. That was one of my questions.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't a great payoff, but in those days it was a good payoff. It was guaranteed money. But we didn't know what we were getting into, but hey, so you had to take the ring and they set it down in the pit, set the ring up. And we got there early in the day and, you know, all the folks in the symphony were wearing, you name it, you know, flip flops like me and you, going to the beach, you know, just whatever kind of ragtag clothes. And, they're up there playing on stage and tuning their instruments and having all this kind of a good time with it and everything. And they're like, all right, we're going to rehearse. And they look at Dutch, and because Dutch the older, he's the lead guy. Hey, will y'all rehearse the match for us? Dutch said, well, hell no, we ain't going to rehearse the damn match for you guys. That isn't what we do. He said, well, can you kind of give us a little ebb and flow of what it is? Now, remember, this is 1989. This is not the age of social media where you go out and talk about every move and why you did this and all that. So it was still a little bit of kayfabe in those days, but they wanted us to kind of go through it. And Dutch and me, really Dutch, kind of walked the conductor on. We're going to do a little slow stuff and get into this and the pacing. And Walter kind of took it all in. And what we're about to watch is the finished product. But as far as being the true artists in this piece right here, me and Dutch did our thing as far as wrestling, and we had kind of an idea. We had the finish laid out. That's about it. But we'd work together each other. So what we did was somewhat spontaneous. What they did was absolutely spontaneous. And when you watch it back, that kind of context, when you drill right down to it, then you go, okay, I can kind of see why they put this match in the Smithsonian Institute, because it is a very unique setting that was done in a real, can't believe I'm saying this, but artistic manner, if you will.
I say this from a place of love, as you know, my love for wrestling. Did some people look at it as highbrow meets lowbrow, as in symphony and wrestling?
Are you can
see how we can merge it together?
Well, absolutely. But you know, Louisville Gardens, every Tuesday night was the territory. We did our show at the Louisville Gardens every Tuesday night. And, as my grandmother used to say and others, Shakespeare to the masses. You know, NFL and NBA, you know, different games are much more, you got to have more money to attend those events. The socioeconomic classes are just upper class or upper middle class. Wrestling has always been middle to the masses. Now, sure, there's doctors and lawyers and closet wrestling fans, but for the most part, people that go to the symphony are in the highest tax paying bracket. People that go into the wrestling, in generally speaking, are not so much. It's completely changed the dynamics. The demographics have radically changed through the years. But in the '80s, up till about the '80s, it was a different model. And so it was definitely a melding and a mashing of completely two different worlds. And me and Dutch as performers, that was the thing that we were most concerned about, is that we're going to be wrestling and we're going to get zero response. Like, you're not going to understand this at all. Well, I won't spoil it, but and the audio isn't as good, but I can't say that they were Road Warrior Pop, you know, 82 noise, but they understood it, appreciated it, and got into it. It was fun to do, and here we are talking about it 40 years later, 35 years later. A lot of fun, but it's certainly a unique set of circumstances, and shoot, I'm lucky to have been a part of it.
Well, they got into it. Let's us get into it right now. If you're watching along, I don't know how you have it. It is on a couple websites.
Oh, it is.
YouTube. They've got some bits and pieces on YouTube. There's some daily motions. I know some of you tape traders might have it out there. If you want to watch along, I'm going to do a countdown just in case. And if not, I'm going to do the countdown just for our producer team here. Are you ready, Marcus? I'll take that as a yes. Coming down in 3, 2, 1. Let's watch Jeff Jarrett at the
action. Yeah. Percussion and two wrestlers by composer Walter Mays, performed by J.T. Combs and the Wichita State Percussion Ensemble, and professional wrestling stars Jeff Jarrett and Dirty Dutch Mantell.
Come on, baby.
More American originals on the Lonesome Pine Specials.
Now, this is PBS.
PBS. And this is what they different pieces all around the country, and
well, they got the drummer on loan from the REO Speedwagon Quartet.
Come on, and Roll Tide on that. But you know, the bass, there's the bell of the match starting. About this time, the ring is rising up in the pit, and it's kind of the mindset of the Roman gladiators. And I'm just really relaying information that the Roman gladiators are anticipation is building, and they're about to lock horns. You're going to see a 22-year-old Roman gladiator with long blonde hair that came out the simply irresistible or goes for a duck.
Did you guys, did they tell you how much time you needed to fill?
No, we kind of told them, we'll kind of give you around 12, 14, 15 minutes.
And that's Dutch that wanted to just kind of feel. That was how it was done in those days. It wasn't a TV deal that you had to literally just say, hey, you know, had to hit a 10-minute or 12 minutes. We'll do about 12:15.
So you guys have still not hit the ring yet. The ring's coming up out of the floor.
It comes up out of it. I believe it's on the way up. Or maybe I'm in a little off.
Got the piano hitting.
Yeah.
You got Paula Poundstone on the timpany there. Huntsville's on.
You're building the anticipation, dadgummit.
Okay, here we go. Get it, Paula.
That ain't Paula. Jeez, stop.
That's Paula.
Total respect. Your tux is nicer than yours.
This guy.
Gallagher. God bless you.
Gallagher. Oh, here we go. Who's the ref?
Paul Neighbors. See how they responded just to, okay, here the talent is. It was a poor symphony crowd, and we'd watched a lot of the other pieces earlier tonight. That was a hell of a reaction.
That was one of my questions. So, they had a full symphony show before this, Jeff?
During it. This was one of many.
In the middle of it.
Yes, yes.
Packed so, it's out. An all-symphony crowd.
Yes.
Do you think there's any wrestling fans there?
Zero. Zero. Because it wasn't advertised as far as
okay,
Jeff.
Okay, that was a good question, yeah.
No, this was, you know, the. I think in those days they had a monthly orchestra. You know, whatever it may be. But, and this is, again, just to me, much more fascinating today than it was back then. You can kind of hear the individuals in the crowd that, I don't say got with it, but they were reacting to it very non-traditional for what a company audience, how they would react.
How big is this venue? A couple thousand?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Truly a theater seating. I'm sure you've done plenty of comedy club in a theater seating, but that was, you know, theater seating.
All you can see is lights, really.
Oh, yeah. That's obviously the stage we're looking at right there. So the people are behind the camera.
Oh, Dutch in the all black with the white furry boots here instead of his cowboy boots, man.
Big monster. He's a big monster. He wore those for a while.
Looks good, man. By the way, his next look, the sweatpants with a cowboy hat and boots over the sweatpants.
And the fanny pack.
That's my current look.
There you go.
Okay. By the way, is this the best your hair has ever been, 89?
Oh, it was.
It looks good, man.
It was probably in prime mullet fashion. I mean,
it looks real good.
I hadn't probably cut any length on it. I started in 86, a couple of years. Maybe very little.
Oh, that's 3 years of growth?
Yeah, probably. I'm sure I had the ends cut, but not a lot.
So. Sure, you got to cut the dead ends off.
Of course. But all kidding aside, you know, I still think it's pretty cool that the conductor is literally conducting this off of kind of the story we're trying to tell with, you know, you didn't see many bumps, a couple of hip tosses, arm drags up top, but now we're going to get into some action.
Camera guys, is that your guys or is that Symphony guys?
It's Symphony guys.
Wow. Well, they shot it really good for Symphony guys.
Oh, no. And they brought in, and again, they kind of framed the Dutch talk with them. And look, it's not rocket science, but the Dutch can talk with the orchestra folks about, look, you know, you don't really have a hard camera here. That's kind of your hard camera shot right there. But just kind of walk them through, look, you don't want to miss that. And this is I believe that's up in the first balcony, but they zoomed in with that camera. So they had some, you know, two or three cameras. They did it. It was I can tell you this, they didn't scrimp on any. It's a TV special, so their budget was up there for these days.
Was it weird not hearing much of a crowd and hearing that music?
it was very bizarre because this is the first time, you know, that me and Dutch are doing it. And so not having a traditional audience to go, okay, either this is getting over or not, you just kind of had to go with it. But Walter, you know, at least said, don't worry about it. I'm going to conduct to you guys. We're playing off you. So there wasn't necessarily a good match or a bad match in his eyes. He was playing off us.
All right. Well, that was one of my questions. I watched this a couple times, and, you know, it said Walter May's War Games was the name of the song, and I wondered if they had planned it or, like, now that you're saying, they improv this as you were going.
Well,
a little bit.
Yes, legit. Walter was conducting this, and as when you go to see him, he's telling different folks, you know.
You go now.
Yes.
Because he knows what instruments they have and what sounds he's looking for. Piano's involved. So there's no horns here, in case you missed the intro. It said Wichita State Percussion Ensemble.
Yep.
So piano's the only thing here besides timpanis. I've seen some mason jars, which does match with wrestling. A lot of xylophone, a lot of drums. Look at this guy.
What's that? Is that like the top of a jug? Maybe a little.
There's a cardboard box with a like a violin bow. Oh, you're getting stretched. Here's one of my favorite parts. This ref right here. You're in a whatever lock. What's this lock, Jeff?
That's called an abdominal stretch.
Abdominal stretch. Dutch keeps grabbing the ropes. You keep telling the ref, check the ropes.
He's checking the ropes. Right now, Dutch is pulling my hair. Pulling my hair, so there's two different kinds of pull the hair and pull the ropes.
This move right here owned me. So he's got a. You're telling him to check, and under the legs, and got him! Got him under the legs.
How about that?
That's a good ref.
That's a hell of a ref, ain't it? That's getting low heat. They understood it. That was what it kind of gratified.
They got the performance art of it.
They totally understood and got into, of course, you know, it was 88, 89. WrestleMania had been all, you know, it had gone into the mainstream. So.
I mean, you can hear them on the big slams. They ooh and ah every time.
On everything, yes. And as we roll in toward
this spot.
Oh, look at that young Jeff Jarrett.
Marching up.
Neck bridge, kid.
Boom.
Slow count, ref.
Back down. Pound stone on the timpani.
I don't think that broke 200 pounds. This stage.
What do you think? 190?
190, 195. Maybe inching toward 200.
Oh, well, we got horns.
That is a little horn. I just...
Can I be honest? There's some times here. Look, I'll catch some heat, but...
Go ahead. Tuba.
There's some times this music gets away from us. I mean, it sounds like those sticky kids in the church nursery. You know what I mean? Where they're just wearing it. Just wearing out the xylophone. And
that's a southern thing if there ever was. Wouldn't you just say in the church?
The church nursery. Yeah.
Boy,
you know, where you walk by and they're just... They're just going crazy.
Roll Tide. Paula Pound.
I mean, this tuba, I'm about...
Paula's pounding it.
I mean, seriously, if you took me, you... Karen Jarrett, Conrad, Paul Bromwell, Palmwater Dave, Road Dog, and Corey Forster, and you let Matt Coon teach us for 37 seconds, we can play better music than this sometimes.
Listen to that siren. That's oh, what a flat back bump that was. You missed that.
It looked like you hurt your head.
Well, that's a flat back bump. I can't believe you threw Corey in there. Corey, he couldn't play a cymbal.
This is what it sounded like when you hit him with a guitar. Just bah, 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 bah.
It's boom. Chaos.
The crowd. The crowd popped hard for that.
Yes. They knew.
What a slow count that was.
Oh, geez, stop it. Now I guess you're going to rate this a negative 2 stars, Mr. Meltzer.
But how many?
This is the comeback start, and I'll get aside. And I remember Dutch telling Walter that, you know, at the end of the heat, it was kind of that chaotic, like a church nursery that you just tried to call it. But chaotic. It was, and then there's a little fire in the young baby face coming back, and the symphony was, you know, told to not blow their gasket, but to show some life. And you can hear it in the snares right there.
Well, I was going to say, when I watched this a couple times today. At this point in the show, it's like they dialed it in, and I didn't know if they did it on purpose or not, but they started hitting when you hit. They started, like you said, they started building this up a little bit.
Well, like in any match.
Drill.
That's a drill. That legit is a drill. Walter is a little off the beaten path in the traditional symphony, but that's what this whole piece was about. To be here we go.
Is that a jackhammer?
Yep. I mean, very, very non-traditional.
You got some lasers going on.
Come on. Boom. Listen to him. Here's that right punch. Drop kick. Nope. Oh, Dutch hates backdrops. He must have called that. There's the drop kick.
Another one.
Oh, and here we go.
Oh, you're out. You're out.
This is when...
I got to ask this.
Fire away.
You're out of the ring.
Oh, that hurt. That's a
that was
stiff.
That was stiff. Yep.
Yes.
Wait, did Dutch work stiff or he just accidentally hit it stiff?
No, he's stuck.
Oh.
There we go.
He stole a bass drum. He's about to hit you with it. Now he's pummeling the bass drum player. Yeah,
that's Mark Eaton. He's the one who put all this together. He was the connector of everything.
That's Beauty and the Beast.
That's Beast. Yes, it is.
That wow. Is
yes. And he.
Oh, so let him sit in because he knew what he was doing first.
He knew what he was doing. And actually, I mean, he knew how to take bump.
Look at that. Took a DDT.
And he was up there legitimately playing the bass drum in his piece.
That's awesome.
Over him. Here we go.
Oh.
False finish.
Yeah, I thought that was it. Boom.
And this is kind of, we kept it chaotic, and Walter wanted a series of these to keep it going, which we did. And it's just kind of the, if you will, the finale. Yeah. Here's the bass drum. It's got a hole in it outside. Over the top. Get the ref.
Come on. Get ball. Him, Jeff.
Boom.
Did he kick him? Hands.
Yep.
That was it. 1, 2, 3.
And did you hear the percussion piece put a count with the 1, 2, 3?
Yep. And listen to the crowd.
And they didn't know the finish.
Poundstone's bringing us home. Look at her.
Boom.
Incredible. How about that, man?
A little different. Hey, you, ad-free family, this might not have been your cup of tea, but I'll just say that it's just a little different, and it takes all kinds. Maybe it's not the best cage match you've ever seen or last man standing, but the old symphony match is one for the ages.
When, before today, when's the last time you watched this?
Tales of the Territory, they had a couple of clips of it to refresh, okay. And me and Dutch were like, you don't have to show us that again. No, watch it. So I'd watch a little bit of it again. What's crazy is that every now and then on Twitter or even TikTok, Marcus, you need to get these couple of clips up this on TikTok. It'll get traction, not TikTok, but Instagram in years past and Twitter really? Years past. Yeah. Little clips of it. Daily Motion is, years ago.
They got the full thing on there.
Years ago. I don't know if it was Daily Motion, but down at TNA, somehow, some way it popped up and there was a group of us that watched it. And, it's a different piece. It really is.
Have you ever seen it at the Smithsonian?
Nope.
That'd be a pretty cool thing, wouldn't it?
I hadn't been to the Smithsonian since I was about 12 years old, but really? Maybe I should go when I'm back up in that parts.
That'd be super cool. Let's get a picture in front of him. I mean, for real, we joked around, but this is the only wrestling match in the Smithsonian. That's
Dutch
big.
Often reminds me of that. He'll shoot me a text. We made history together. It's pretty cool. Yeah. And the footnote is my dad's first cousin. So he's in the family and he took the ring that day. So just that whole, the three of us that got to do this on a unique day up in Louisville, Kentucky, just different.
Walter Mays, did you keep in contact with him after that?
Hey, me and Walter were one-night stands.
One-night stands, that was it.
We just played percussion together one night, and then he went on down the road, and what's that song? Here I Am, Up on the Stage.
Up on the stage. Yes. This is kind of hilariously bizarre in its own way. I said, you know, it got to – like you see, it's interesting to hear you say that you mentioned to them, hey, when we get the comeback going, kind of dial it in, build it up, because they were kind of chaotic. And I thought, which War Games was worse, this or Frall Brawl 93, 94, 95 combined? But they dialed it in by the end.
And I will say this, they Marcus cut out of it, producer, and I don't know if it's on that reel, but when it was over, the audience stood up and I call it the golf clap or the symphony clap. Yeah. They, and it like traditional speaking, the orchestra, everybody in the orchestra, they stood up, took their bow. We took our bow. The orchestra, you know, whatever, took another bow. I don't remember exactly.
Really?
What Walter did his bow, and the people appreciated the whole art sense of it. Obviously it's, they didn't get to see that every month up there, but they were very appreciative of the piece, and the people in the orchestra came up to me in Dutch afterwards, and you know, they were thanking us and we were thanking them. It was just it was kind of a, you know, did we think it'd be in the Smithsonian? No, but we kind of knew what we did was very unique, and it's probably not going to happen again for some time.
Oh, so they, okay, that's interesting. They didn't tell you, hey, we're going to put this in the Smithsonian. You knew it was PBS and we're doing it at Performing Arts. But that's all you knew there.
That's it. Yeah.
Wow.
And look, we can Google it, but you know, the series was highly successful in PBS world. And this episode is just unique. It's really, really unique.
Do you remember afterwards you thanked everybody on stage and left? Did they keep playing? Did they have more stuff? I said they played before for sure.
This might have been the last piece. Hard to follow that, Cassio.
Well, that's what I was thinking. I was like, man, I wouldn't want you to keep going after that.
Yeah, because I think, you know, we did our stuff and the ring lowered back down.
While you were in it?
Yeah, that was the end of the piece.
And then they went back into the dressing room area?
Yep.
That's
how the bit was, yeah. It's cool.
Super cool stuff, man. I appreciate you watching it because I'd never seen it. I've heard about it. It's on list. It's on, you know, Sports Kita, strangest places they've ever had, wrestling matches, and all kinds of stuff. So it's, you were number two on strangest places.
No way.
They've ever had, according to Sports Kita. Number one was
Conrad's backyard. Oh.
A cave.
Okay.
Rookie Dragon Wrestling in 2015 had one in a cave, but buddy, as far as I'm concerned, the symphony with Dutch Mantel and Double J, that's pretty strong.
A little unique. Yes, a little unique.
Be proud of it?
Look, today, yes. The producers of Tales of the Territory, they had a fun time chatting with about it because it's so different. And nowadays, you know, there's 3 hours on Monday and 2 hours on Wednesday and, 2 hours on Tuesday, 2 hours on Friday. And then NWA and Impact. I mean, there's in a week, there's 30 hours of content, 20 and all you want on YouTube. So to do something this unique and special as the days go by, I'm even more proud and know that I'm lucky. I'm grateful that I got to be a part of that. It's a cool little footnote for, the old 2-time Hall of Famer, pal. It really
is like a cool thing for, like you said, where it just pops up and you go, man, I kind of forgot we did that. Not in a bad way, but you just
a good way.
So much things going on, you're like, man, that's a pretty cool deal to remember and having the old feather in the cap.
Well, for sure, you know, a lot of the matches live on Peacock or wherever. I think this match is going to stand the test of time because Smithsonian is going to be around.
That's what we got to get. We got to get a new trend where everybody goes to the Smithsonian and gets a picture in front of this exhibit, man.
I don't know if it's an exhibit. It's just there.
We got to find it.
It's putting away in a closet.
How about this? If anybody goes to some Smithsonian, not that anybody watching this will, but if they do, ask them, say, hey, we need the wrestling match out. We need the Symphony of Destruction, baby.
That's it, brother.
Well, buddy, thanks for sitting down with me and watching this. This was super fun.
Love it, man. Love it. Roll Tide. You know who would have been funny doing this? I just think of that. Just think of me, you, and Corey would have done this tonight.
Well, he hates you.
I hate him, too. That's why I'm saying it's been good. I don't really like you, but that's...
How about you got another bonus show? Yep. You got to do those every all for ad-free shows. I can't
do those. Once a month.
Well, I didn't mean to put it as a burden on you, but yes, you will do those again. How about we find something, me, you, and Corey next month?
Let's do it.
Is that a deal?
Let's do it.
Including watching you hit him with a guitar.
Greatest guitar shots.
We'll get my slap and we'll get his guitar shot in.
I love it.
And maybe something else, but at least that.
Little bitch moved and he knows it.
See, I promised I wasn't going to cuss this episode. Look at you. You got fired up right here at the end.
Sure did.
Fired up.
Can I say something about... No, shouldn't.
Buddy, thank you, Double J. Marcus, thank you, man, for hooking us up with this. Thank you to all our top guys and top gals for subscribing to adfreeshows.com. We wouldn't be here if it wasn't for y'all. This is for y'all.
I love it.
This was a super fun time. I'm Cassio. That's the real... Double J.
That's J-E-double-F, J-A-double-R-E-double-T. That's Double J, Jeff Jarrett. Peace, my friend.